Good morning, and yes, I'm the missionary to the Bible College. That's a big job, amen, with some of those students. They keep you busy. No, just joking. It is a great opportunity, and we have some new students, brand new students this year, and we're praising the Lord for that. Things have gotten off to a really good start this year at the college, and we praise the Lord for your continued support and encouragement. Because my ministry is not only there, right there on the site, but I move around among the churches as well to encourage the churches in their support and challenge young and old about the ministry, about getting busy, getting trained, and getting into the Lord's work. So I value your continued prayer for that. And it's a good opportunity for Pastor to be down in Melbourne there, stirring them about things, and he took some college materials with him as well. He's not going to miss out on an opportunity down there. So be in prayer. Well, we're going to 1 John this morning. 1 John, that little book of John, not John's Gospel, but 1 John, right over toward the book of Revelation. The theme this year at the church is Pray Without Ceasing. What a challenge that is to each one of us to develop that fellowship with the Lord. And so this morning I trust that in 1 John you'll receive some further encouragements and challenges about this and how this prayer without ceasing can be practical and how it can be a reality to have that contact and that fellowship with God moment by moment, hour by hour. So in 1 John, this little book of a letter of John, it begins in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can give attention to your word. We thank you for this place where the word of God is honoured and preached faithfully. And we do pray this morning again, as your word is opened, Lord, that you'd grant blessing upon us, that you would teach us and guide us and help us to be more effective in our fellowship and prayer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. John opens this letter very abruptly. If you're planning to write a letter to someone, you don't usually begin so abruptly. I think emails probably are a danger to good English because they are very abrupt little messages, aren't they, sent, and text messages are even worse. I think the grammar teachers like Mrs. Ringwald are going to have terrible trouble in days to come. Well, she's had a number of years trying to straighten my English out already. But anyway. But he begins very abruptly, does John, as he puts you right into the midst of his fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 1, the theme here is the man of this fellowship, Christ. He's speaking about this relationship which he has with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is one that has seen him, that has heard him, that has touched him, that has been in very close and abiding fellowship with the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is 100% involved in this wonderful fellowship with the man of fellowship, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the center of our fellowship. He is the one that we are to seek. He is the one that we are to build our life around. He is the one that we are to use our senses to know him and to walk with him and to fellowship with him. Now, John had a particularly a blessed fellowship with Christ because he loved the Lord and he was very close in fellowship with Christ throughout that whole 3-year ministry. Unlike Peter, John did not deny the Master 3 times. Unlike other disciples, we don't seem to see him as being featured in the fishing trip that the disciples went on when they were discouraged and did not seek the Lord during that resurrection ministry. But we see John having a real love for Christ and a real relationship with the Lord. We've seen him with our eyes. We've looked upon him. Our hands have handled of the Word of life. This is Jesus Christ, the living Word, the Word of life, the living Word spoken to the Father. I don't think you can really enjoy verses 1 and 2 here. First John, without knowing and having read the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Listen to it. In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is this one? The one that John is speaking about in 1 John. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness. Go over to verse number 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we, John speaking of himself and the other disciples, and saying, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John understood that Jesus Christ was God, the Word of God, the communication of God, the mind of God expressed to us that Jesus Christ was the Creator of the universe. And John is saying that he had fellowship with the Creator of the universe. When you stop and pray, or when you pray without ceasing, you are maintaining that constant communication with the God, the Creator of the universe, who has revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ and ministers to us through the Holy Spirit. We get into wonderful fellowship with Jesus Christ when we get saved. So John is saying that he knows the Lord, he walks with Christ, he's in fellowship with the Lord. And since Christ had left the scene, and this was written after the resurrection and ascension, John still maintained that kind of fellowship with Christ. Read the book of Revelation, written at a similar time, as John, who was the oldest of the disciples and the apostles, having outlived the others by almost 30 years. Now as an older man of God, a saint of God, he wants to encourage the saints and he challenges them in this wonderful book about fellowship. So he has seen him. This is the possibility of fellowship, that we can enter in and know the God of the universe. We can know Christ and we can walk with him and fellowship with him, even momentarily as we pray without ceasing. We've got to learn to use a couple of channels in our brain. It is said that C.H. Spurgeon worked in 5 channels at one time. In other words, he could be preaching a sermon and thinking about a needy soul that he needed to reach over here. He could be thinking about some other thing. He could consider 5 different things at the same time. He could be having a conversation here with somebody, but he could also be thinking about something else over there and concentrating on that as well. In here to pray without ceasing, we've got to learn to be unconsciously prayerful, if you like. To develop that prayer ministry and to realise that Christ is real and that he wants to bless us. John knew that. He knew that in personal experience. So we see the manifestation of this fellowship in verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life. How much stronger could it be, amen? How much clearer could he make it that he has seen the Lord? He has had fellowship with God in Jesus Christ. This was manifest. This was revealed unto us. The true and living God has been revealed unto us. Revealed unto the apostles of old in Jesus Christ, and revealed unto us through the Word and through the Spirit, directing us and teaching us in the Word. The life was manifested. When Christ walked on earth, he met needy and sick people, and he came to them and he touched them and healed them, and his power, his life was the very life of God manifest. They saw him raise the dead. They saw the miracles that he did. They saw the power of that living Saviour. The life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life. This is a strong statement here. This is strong language from John. He's not beating around the bush. He's just saying that that was manifested. You know, you will find as you visit and try and witness to people that are unsaved or that have some knowledge, they want to make it as though nobody's ever seen God. Nobody's ever had fellowship with God. Nobody could ever have the audacity to know that. No. You say you know God. You say you know Christ. Nobody's ever had that experience. Come on. The apostles knew it. The saints of old knew it. And we can know it too through the new life in being born into God's family and having that, born into that fellowship. We bear witness, he says. We know what we're talking about here. And show unto you that eternal life. Eternal life. Life without end. That we might have that and experience that. That eternal life. Do you have that life? Do you have that fellowship which was manifest, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us? Where was Jesus before he came to earth? Again, a lot of confusion about all this. He was with the Father. He was with God. He was God the Son. He created all things at the will of the Father. The Father willed it. The Son brought it to being, and the Spirit of God hovered upon it and made it a reality. And this is the work of God. That eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Here is Christ then having wonderful fellowship with the Father in heaven in eternity past. And you see, the thing about it is that when we receive Christ as our Saviour, we enter into that wonderful fellowship as well. It's a family of fellowship with the Father, and we can enjoy that fellowship momentarily, day by day, as we pray without ceasing. It was manifest unto us. So the manifestation of this fellowship in Jesus Christ, we see his relationship with the Father, and that relationship with the Father, the disciples came to know during his earthly ministry, and we come to know when we receive Christ as our Saviour. And then in verse number 3, to continue the alliteration, number 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship, the multitude of this fellowship, and the multiplication of this fellowship. We have seen and heard it. Why? Why does he say this? So that you can have fellowship too. John is very evangelistic in his gospel. Very evangelistic in this. Very clear cut. Very solid in this. That's which we have seen and heard declare we, that ye may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son. Here we see the twofold fellowship. Fellowship with God's children and fellowship with the Father. Think of the cross and the Father at the top. We're at the very foot of the cross there. And our brothers and sisters are out here, and there's fellowship with them to enjoy as well. So the declaration of fellowship here in verse number 2, that ye may have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. So here he wants us to have fellowship. This is the theme of the book. This is the desire. This is the desire of the ages. This is the desire of God, that you might have fellowship with him. He wants to hear your prayer. He wants you to commune with him. He wants to hear you fellowship and bring your needs before him. He wants to hear your worship and praise. He wants to hear your thanksgiving. He wants to have that constant communication so that we might have fellowship. What is fellowship? What is fellowship? Well, you could describe it as two fellows in the same ship. That happens. I was down there on Saturday watching the other few weeks ago when I was preaching in Wollongong. I was doing my Bible reading and having a time down by the water. And this little boat came putting away. And there was a father and two sons on board. Oh, they were yabbering away. They were having fellowship. They were chatting away. They were communing together. They were together, and they were traveling. Guess what? I saw the same boat the week later when I was down there preparing for the next Sunday, and I went down, have a little prayer time, read the Bible by the water, by the river there. And the boat came putting past, and this time the whole family's on board. There was about five kids, and mum was on board. Dad was there, and they were puttering along. And so I thought, I've got to see more of this. So I drove down to where they were bringing the boat in. That was a lot of fun because that day they had terrible trouble. The line that was the wire rope that was pulling them onto the boat trailer snapped, and another couple of fellas came running in to try and help them out. It was a very interesting picture there. But it just grew, you see. It grew. There was a few fellas, and then there were more fellas. This is the growth of it. God wants others to come to know this fellowship. John is declaring this, that we might have fellowship, that you might have fellowship with us, the saints of God, and fellowship with Jesus Christ. But you know, there is a better illustration of fellowship. There's two ladies on the phone. Yeah? Two ladies on the telephone. Now, I've got to be careful what I say about this, because I live in a girl's dorm, as you know. I've got to be careful. But how they love to chat away, you know. The fellas, I'll get on the phone and I'll say what I need to say and have a bit of a quick chat and then terminate. You know? If you phone me up, that's what you'll get. Okay? But if the ladies get on the phone, they tend to chat on. Some are better than those. Some men are like that, and I think with the technology everywhere now, I think the young men are really learning to be chatterboxes on the phone as well. But they've discovered the possibility of fellowship. Now, wherever you are, you can pull out that mobile phone, put a few numbers in there, or just like I do, hit the button with the pre-arranged numbers in there, boom. And before long, I can be talking to somebody just like that. Isn't that amazing? That's the possibilities of prayer. God is with us all the time. He's there all the time. And our prayerfulness is a realization. Pray without ceasing is a realization that he is there and that we can enjoy that constant communication and fellowship with him. Fellowship is communication. It is communion. It is heart to heart. It is mind to mind, if you like. It is a reality that we can enjoy. And then the makeup of fellowship. To continue the M's there, the makeup of fellowship in verse 4. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Listen, this fellowship, this prayer without ceasing, should not be a difficult thing and a drudgery or something that's so serious that we really, you know, that
jeeps our joy and washes out our joy. No. Real fellowship with the Father, authentic and real fellowship with the Father, should be the source of great joy. He says, I give unto you an abundant life. This is a full and meaningful life, a relationship, a wonderful and joyful walk with God, that your joy may be full. How much joy have you got? Well, increase your prayer life. Increase your fellowship life. Walk with God. Be glad that you are saved. Be glad that you have this fellowship with the God of the universe. Be glad that you have constant communion with Him and that possibility. And you'll never get a bill. You'll always be glad that you have spent that time with the Lord. We sing sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. But how many of us have had an hour? The possibilities, though, are to pray without ceasing, to develop an unbroken chain of prayerfulness with the Lord. And that should create a joy. We should be glad about our salvation. Maybe we need to pray that prayer, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. So we see that this indeed is the makeup of fellowship, that it brings joy and nourishment and abundance in our heart and life as we learn to walk with our Father, with our God, through Jesus Christ. And then number five, the message of this fellowship. In verse number five, this then is the message that which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. The message of this fellowship is that he is a holy God. He is a pure and holy God. He is altogether lovely, altogether holy, altogether light. And life is in him. You want to know the way of life? Be with him. He gives you light. He gives understanding. He gives illumination. This world is full of darkness. It is. It's full of darkness. Everywhere you turn, there's dark and shady things going on. Dark and shady ideas about. People walking, even believers, are walking in the shadows. Walking in the shadows. And everything is a shade of grey to them. That's doubt and unbelief that's crept in. But you see, God is a God of light. He's a God of truth, a God of illumination, a God who will show you the way to go and illuminate the pathway for you and show you the way forward. He is a God that is fellowshipped in holiness and in light. And we must understand that. If you're really going to have that prayer life develop, there has to be a realization that we deal with the holy God. And that our sins come as a cloud between us and God. And they hinder that fellowship. See, a lot of times people are sort of thinking, well, Lord, why don't you come through? Why don't you bless? And you know what the Lord's thinking? Why don't you get that straightened out? Why don't you deal with that darkness? Why don't you get rid of that shady stuff? Why don't you start walking in the light? And this is what God wants us to do. The message is a message of fellowship, of light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's nothing like that anywhere in God. There, he is a holy and pure God, and he wants to deal with us in terms of that holiness and that light. It is a fellowship of light. In the newspaper, I think yesterday, they had a list of these bikey gangs and all the different things, and there's a bikey war about brewing, they're saying, because the chief of one bikey gang was kicked out and he went over and joined another gang, and they don't like each other. If ever there was a fellowship of darkness, those bikey gangs with their skulls and guns and swords and everything and the other, and their matemanship that is built on doing naughty things, doing dark things, and they're getting involved with the dark arts. God hates sin. And God has difficulty communicating with sin. There, that comes between him, us and him. If we're really going to develop our prayerfulness, we need to deal with these matters of darkness that are in our life, because he's a God of light. You see, the menace to our fellowship then is in number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse number 10. It's interesting, John is very forthright and keeps coming back to this particular problem and this matter. Look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You see, John is getting at us, hammering away at this matter of the problem of sin and how it hinders our fellowship with him. Sin will keep you from this book. This book will keep you from sin. Prayer will keep you walking in the light. But sin will squelch out that prayer life. Sin will strangle the prayer life. But there is a wonderful answer to this, isn't there? So the menace to this fellowship is sin. It's not the lack of time. It's not the lack of time. It's not for the lack of possibilities. God is there. The opportunity is open. The heavens are open. The Saviour has made a new and living way for us to communicate with the Father. We don't need to go down to St. Michael's or wherever it is. On visitation again yesterday, you know, these people that go to St. Michael's. I'm thankful that my fellowship with God is on a daily basis, amen. And I give them a gospel tract just the same, amen. No matter which saint they go after. I'm thankful that we can have wonderful fellowship with the living God. But the problem is the menace, the constant menace to our fellowship is sin. It is. The hindrance of that. It's wrong thoughts, wrong desires, wrong actions, wrong living. These different sins. Sin is anything that is not pleasing unto the Father. Anything that is not pleasing. It is a sin to go against the commandments of God. Obviously, these many sins, idolatry, all the modern sins of today that are prevalent, that crowd out our spiritual life. If we're going to walk in the light, we've got to deal with these dark things. We've got to deal with them. And there is a way of dealing with them. So the menace to this fellowship is sin. And then the means to this constant fellowship is the blood of Christ. Have a look at verse number 7 there. Refresh yourself in this. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. Here's the practical reality. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. If we confess our sins, in verse 9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is a wonderful cleansing, the means to this constant abiding fellowship. Is not perfection, but it is the cleansing blood of the Lamb, because God knows that we are sinners saved by grace. God knows that we are not what we ought to be, and we will not be completely that until we get to heaven, amen? He knows that the practical battles that we have. And so he has provided in Christ, in the precious blood, a cleansing fountain that we might go to him and be cleansed. And have that complete cleansing and that reinstatement of our fellowship with him. So this is a wonderful thing, isn't it? That we can enjoy constant fellowship through the cleansing blood of Christ. That's what verse 7 is saying. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us. The blood of Christ covers us as a propitiation. It is a payment. It is a covering for us. So that we, frail as we be, sinful though we may be, as much as we may seek to live the holy life, yet we find in ourselves thoughts that are wrong, things that are not pleasing to the Father. These are our sins. We can take them to the cleansing blood. We can claim the cleansing. We can claim that cleansing. That the fellowship with the Father is sweet and real through the cleansing blood of the Lamb. You know, there are those that seek to walk in constant fellowship through being totally holy. Now, there is a wonderful possibility of complete holiness and entire sanctification. But the reality of it is that we constantly face that battle with the old nature, the flesh versus the spirit. These two are contrary one to another. And we often fall, don't we? We often sin in our thoughts, in our heart, in our actions, in our attitudes, and in what we do. So that we have constant fellowship with God through the cleansing blood of the Lamb, not through our perfection. Though God desires that we would not sin. He says, "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not." John was dealing with these people that were in this particular church that thought, well, you've got two natures. You've got the God nature, the Christ nature, and the new life in Christ, but you've got the old nature. And they try to operate both systems at the same time. It won't work. You can't love the world and continue in the world and dabble around with the sins and the grey areas of life. You can't do that and walk in fellowship with God. You should seek that cleansing to have that wonderful fellowship with God. You should walk with the Advocate, Jesus Christ, and trust Him for the victory. The victory walk of faith with Him in fellowship to overcome, so that you might walk in constant fellowship with God. The basis of our fellowship is the blood of the Lamb. It's what He did for us. That's His grace towards us. And that works within us to draw us and to keep us into constant fellowship and to give us that love and that desire to walk in fellowship with Him. And then finally we go to chapter 2 and verse 3 for the marks of this fellowship. The marks of this fellowship. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, "I know Him," and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So here it is, the marks of this fellowship is that we love the Lord with all of our heart, is that we love His commandments and we seek to walk in those commandments and do the right thing and follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we can walk in the light and in the sunshine of His love and in that wonderful fellowship and have that desire and motivation to be pleasing unto our God as we walk in fellowship and prayer with Him and walk down life's pathway that way. Sometimes you see the busy mother in the supermarket and she has a couple of kids along with her and they are generally pretty compliant, especially since she's told them that in a moment she's going to buy them a donut. They'd be good, she'll buy them a donut, you know, something like that. But generally they're walking along and they're going along, but you get one of them now and again, and you all know what they're like, perhaps the terrible twos, perhaps, and they start throwing a little temper tantrum and a little fit of their own, you know. Either they wanted something or they didn't want something, or they wanted to be in the trolley or they wanted to be out of the trolley, whatever it is, who knows. They don't even know, I think, sometimes, and they get all start doing the wrong things. What's happened? Their fellowship is broken with Mum, amen? And atonement has to be made for that. I'm just using it in a different sense there. But Mother has a way of appeasing that sometimes and giving them a little tap in the appropriate place. And I think it's needful. And our government is happy with that.
done in love. Don't let them tell you otherwise. But the marks of this fellowship is that you walk with God and enjoy the trip, enjoy the journey, enjoy the hike. You get that one attitude that is out, and the trip is no longer enjoyable. Obedience is no longer the possibility. The opposite is all happening. That describes where some believers are, you know. Not walking in fellowship. The attitude is not right. Something is wrong here. In their own lives, in their own heart. And there's no joy. There is no joy. And that's sad, isn't it, when that happens? When believers don't have that joy. Now that's not the reality of the fellowship, is that kind of life. Christians, we ought to be joyful. We ought to be glad in the Lord. I know there are many things that happen in this world and in our lives and around about us. I know that. But we are to have the joy of the Lord. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. That your joy might be full. That's God's desire. That you might have fullness of joy. Well, there's a challenge for us, isn't there? To walk in constant fellowship with God and to know Him better in our lives. If you're here this morning and you don't have this fellowship with God, you don't know that Jesus Christ is your Saviour, you need to deal with that and get into fellowship with God. And stop walking in darkness and come to the Christ of God and receive Him into your life, that you can get into a wonderful fellowship with God and have the fullness of joy. For those of us that have received Christ as Saviour, I wonder, are we not walking in the light? We're walking in the shadows. Is our fellowship not really a fellowship of light and joy? Are there things that have crept in? Is the idea of prayer without ceasing discouraging to you? How am I going to do all this? Well, maybe then what you need to do is step into the light. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. We need to deal with that constantly, momentarily, confessing and walking in fellowship with Him. But maybe at the beginning of this year there's a need in your life for an admission that your fellowship with Him is not what it ought to be. And you know what happens when our fellowship with Him is not what it ought to be? Our fellowship with our brothers and sisters is not right either. We don't enjoy our church fellowship, our church family. We tend not to see the importance of it. We need to have this fellowship with God, and we need fellowship one with another. We need to come together. After all, we are fellows in the same ship. We have come to Christ. He's our Lord and Saviour. We have come into this house of God and this family of God, this local assembly of Christ for fellowship. Maybe you need to reinstate your fellowship with Him. Come for cleansing. Come for renewal. Pray that prayer, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Perhaps there needs to be a fresh realization of this opportunity of fellowship. Momentary fellowship. Maybe a return from the wanderings and strayings that we oft have. And maybe you need to come for a cleansing. You need a cleansing and washing today. Come and be cleansed in the precious blood as you confess, as you claim the cleansing, as you seek that restoration, and then commit yourself to walk as He walked. Let's pray. Our Father and God, we thank You, Lord, for Your word and the challenge and the call to fellowship. And I pray, Lord, that we would see our need to answer that call. We would see our need to walk with You in constant, close and abiding fellowship. Draw us nearer, we pray. Have Your will and way in us, Lord, that we would walk with You and enjoy the fullness of blessings and joy that only You can give. God, You'd bless our closing hymn of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand together and